The views and opinions expressed on the following show are those of the host and not necessarily those of Bigler Broadcasting or the staff and management of FM Talk 106.5.
It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome, everyone out there in Radio Land. I am George Williams, your host, and I'm glad to be here on a pretty nice Tuesday. It rained earlier today, but we're here, and I have a special guest, and we're going to get right down to it, folks. I have a special guest in the studio here, and she is Ms. Ashley Rich. She is a prosecutor for the Mobile County Prosecutor's Office. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Great. We're glad that you're here. And I've known Ms. Rich for a long time. I remember when she first ran, and I supported her, and I support her now. And she's done a fantastic job. Can you tell us our audience a little bit about yourself?
Sure. We'll start from the very beginning. I was born and raised as a Mobilian. I've lived here all my life. Right. Went to Davidson High School here in Mobile, and went to college at the University of Southern Mississippi, and then I put myself through law school at Mississippi College School of Law, and was going to come back and work for a civil law firm and make a lot of money. You know, I had dreams that I was going to just set the world on fire, and I started watching criminal trials in Mobile County Courthouse, and I said, oh, wow, I think I want to be a prosecutor. And I was hired by the existing DA at the time, John Tyson, Jr., and he hired me as an assistant district attorney, and I worked for him for 15 years. And then when he retired, I decided I would run to be the next DA of Mobile County, and so I ran a campaign and got to know you and many other wonderful people that I didn't know in Mobile County, and was successful and became the first female district attorney of Mobile County in January of 2011.
All right. Now, you may not know this, but I know this. You get very high marks, okay, as a prosecutor in the state of Alabama. And what has, you know, kept you driving to do that?
You know, when you know that you are doing the right thing for the right reasons, and when you see somebody who has been hurt and their life has been forever changed in an instant by a violent act of crime or just any act of crime that was committed against them, and you're able to turn around after you try a case for them and you get a victory and you put the defendant behind bars and say, we did this, and he's no longer going to hurt somebody else. It's just the most incredible feeling that you'll ever feel as a professional and as a person, because you know that you've helped this person get through a very traumatic event in their life and provide them some semblance of justice in making sure that the person who harmed them is put away in jail for a long time.
Right. Well, there are also some cases that you've had, I mean, very what they call them?
High profile.
Yeah, high profile cases.
Absolutely.
How do you handle those?
You know, we handle high profile cases just like any other case. And really what all, especially homicide cases, are about is just about an act of violent crime and someone whose life has been senselessly taken. And so we try to treat them all the same because, you know, all of the victims were put in horrible situations where their life was taken from them. So you try to just put it in perspective and just go, I'm going to do my job every day. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And I'm going to try to provide justice for each one of these victims.
Right. How did you cope doing the beginning of the COVID situation when everything was shut down? I heard that the courts were shut down. And
COVID has been incredibly rough on the justice system.
Yes, right.
And we are way behind, thousands and thousands and thousands of cases behind. Before COVID, the average time it would take a felony jury trial from the time the defendant was arrested until we got to trial was 18 to 24 months. After COVID and in the situation that we're in right now, I have to look at victims or victims' families, and I have to say it's going to be 3 to 4 years before your case is going to go to trial.
Wow.
And that is horrible. We are re-victimizing our victims if we cannot provide justice in a timely manner. And right now, we are not providing justice in a timely manner.
Right. And we must say, it's not just in Mobile, Baldwin County. It's all over.
It is all over. Mm-hmm. And we are just, you know, we want to get back to the business that the public has charged us with doing, and that is having jury trials and providing justice in the courtroom each and every day. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, our presiding judge is not quite there yet, but hopefully in the fall we'll go back to pre-COVID conditions with the number of cases that we're allowed to try each week, and we will hopefully get back into the same number of cases that we had before COVID.
Right. You're also involved with this Terminex case.
And that has just been a, you know, so many Alabama citizens, especially in Mobile and Baldwin County, were harmed by fraudulent business practices that Terminex had been doing for years and years and years. And tens of thousands of Mobilians were overcharged by Terminex, substantial increases in their premiums that were in violation of the business practices and state business practices. And so I went to the Attorney General on behalf of the citizens of Mobile County and said, this is too big for my office to handle. We need the Attorney General's office to come in and to negotiate a settlement with Terminex. And so the Attorney General negotiated a $60 million settlement on behalf of the citizens of Alabama, but primarily Mobile and Baldwin County.
Right.
And so we're very, very pleased to provide some type of economic refund to people who have been wronged by Terminex, whether their rates, their bonds, termite bonds went up, or whether they were forced to change companies because they could no longer afford Terminex. They're going to get a monetary compensation for that.
Right. Now, is there a time limit for them to apply?
Yes. The limit for which they can apply is July 15th, and they need to go to Terminex, T-E-R-M-I-N-I-X, receiver.com, and that will show them all the paperwork that needs to be filled out in the process that they need to go through.
And do we have many folks in Baldwin and Mobile County applying?
And yes, we have, but there's many more that have not applied that need to apply and need to do so before this deadline.
Okay.
So we're trying to get the word out that they need to go to this website and fill all the paperwork.
All right, folks, you've heard that. You need to, if you've been involved, if you've been affected by this situation with Terminex, please go and be part of the lawsuit.
Right, and the website is Terminex, T-E-R-M-I-N-I-X, fund.com. And it will walk you through the process of how to go about getting one of those refunds.
Great, great. You're running for re-election.
I am. I'm going to. It's a best-kept secret in Mobile right now, and you're divulging the secret.
This is it. We want it out there. You know, we support you. You
well,
know
thank
that.
You.
I support you 1,000%.
Thank you.
Tell the folks why you're running.
Well, you know, it's been my honor and privilege to be the district attorney since 2011, and I've been a prosecutor for 25 years now.
Wow.
And I still have more left in me.
Wow.
I still have more left in me.
Yeah.
So I want to do it because I think that it's so important that we have a very pro-prosecution prosecutor and that we make sure that we are doing everything we can to put the bad guys in jail. And not only put the bad guys in jail, but do our best to make sure that we give justice for victims and can turn around and look them in the eye and say, this person's going away for a very, very long time. This person is going away for a very, very long time and will no longer be allowed to come back into our community and harm anybody in this community.
Right. Hopefully after this period that we're in is over with, things will get back to normal because you guys were doing a heck of a job.
Well, we're going to continue to do a heck of a job. We're just doing it a little slower pace. And I can assure you, I was at the doctor's office today and a lady came up to me and she served on one of my juries about 12 years ago, and she goes, are you Ashley Rich? And I said, I am Ashley Rich. And she said, I watched you work. Made me feel good, kind of put an extra kick in my step today, because sometimes I do a lot of administrative work as the elected DA.
Right.
And she said, I watched you in court, and I will never forget it. And that was just the biggest compliment to me, that even after all those years, she remembered her day in court, and she said that victim got justice, mm-hmm. and the defendant got exactly what he deserved.
Right, right. I've gone into some of the courtrooms, you know, and I've seen you and your staff, your assistant, the district attorneys, man. It's fantastic staff.
Thank you. I have a wonderful group of individuals that I work with.
Right.
Their hearts are all in the right place.
Right, right. Folks, we're going to be going into a break in how many seconds, Phil? In a couple of seconds, and then we'll continue with Mobile County Prosecutor Ashley.
Let me say this, George. You know, mm-hmm. you're talking about the members of the Mobile County District Attorney's Office staff. If anybody ever sees them out in public, give them a pat on the back and tell them what a wonderful job they do. Because I'm the face of the office and the name of the office.
Yeah.
But I could not be successful like I am if it weren't for the wonderful people that I work with at the DA's office.
And I can verify that, folks. Being a retired federal agent, when I was stationed in New York, Giuliani was a U.S. attorney. But we work with the assistant.
Absolutely.
U.S. attorneys. Mm-hmm. And they were fantastic. I still remember them. Sometimes we exchange numbers and we talk to each other.
Sure.
We'll be right back, folks, with Mobile County Prosecutor Ashley Rich.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I am George Williams, your host, and I'm here with Miss Ashley Rich, the Mobile County Prosecutor, and she's answering some very important questions. She's running for re-election for another four years. And we're glad to have her here at the studio. Question, Ms. Rich.
Sure.
When you're called for jury duty, how does that work?
Well, when someone is selected to come down and receives a jury summons, mm-hmm. that's done randomly through your driver's license number. Okay. A lot of people call me and go, I've never served on jury duty. How do I get to serve on jury duty? And I wish that I could have volunteers of good people that wanted to come down and serve on jury duty, but unfortunately we can't. It has to be a purely random selection mm-hmm. process.
Right.
And so it's chosen by a computer by someone's driver's license number.
Mm-hmm.
And when a person receives a summons in the mail, it's really important that they honor that summons mm-hmm. and that they understand that there are really two ways that you can serve your country right now. Mm-hmm. One is in United States military, and I've just got to give a shout out. Mm-hmm. My son's in the Air Force, so I know all about the United States military. I'm a military mom now. But there are two ways that you can serve your country. One is in the United States military, and the other, if you think about it, the way you're serving your country and your community is through jury service. Because we have to have jurors who come down and serve on juries in order to get justice. And so when someone gets that summons, don't disregard the summons.
Okay.
Take it very, very seriously.
Okay.
Talk to your employer. Tell your employer that you've got a summons. And come down and serve and do your civic duty to serve on a jury. It's so very important that we have good people in this community that come down and want to perform their civic duty and serve on jury duty. So with COVID conditions, we've only been able to try one trial every couple of weeks. So mm-hmm. when we get back to full complement in the fall, we're going to need everyone to respond to that jury summons mm-hmm. and to come down and know that our courtrooms are sanitized every single night.
Okay.
We have air sanitizers in every single courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
We will make sure that the courtroom is safe,
mm-hmm.
and we need them to come down and not be fearful in this, COVID times. We need them to come down and say, I'm going to serve and I'm going to perform my civic duty and I'm going to go down there and I'm going to listen to the evidence and the law as the judge instructs me, and I'm going to make my verdict based on the evidence and the law as the judge instructs me, and I'm going to perform my duty as a citizen.
Now, I have a question. Being a retired law enforcement.
Sure. We take retirees too. Don't worry. We love retirees.
That was my question.
In fact, retirees are a model juror. I love them. And they want to come serve.
I was telling, we have our Retired Agents Association and the Fraternal Order of Police, which I remember. And I've asked some of the guys, have you ever been recalled? I know I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't. And mm-hmm. I think I would love to serve on a jury.
Absolutely.
And, you know, but there's no, what kind of exemptions do you give for someone who get a call? And
well, I don't give any exemptions. Let's just be clear. I don't have any hand or process in who gets selected. That's okay. With court administration.
Okay.
But if somebody had, you know, a medical reason why they couldn't serve, they could certainly call court administration, and then mm-hmm. It would be up to the judge that is impaneling the jury that week mm-hmm. to decide whether they would get an exemption to not have to come down. But we love everybody. And we certainly love retirees, and we it doesn't matter what age or okay. what demographic. Basically, you just have to be a United States citizen. You have to be able to, you know, understand the English language. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to hear, you know, those mm-hmm. kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's easy to serve on jury duty. We're just asking you to sit and listen to the evidence and then mm-hmm. make a decision based on the evidence.
Yeah. I think some people
there's no education level requirement. Even you could do it, George. I'm just kidding. But no, I mean, there's really no absolute requirements.
Right.
We just need somebody that's willing.
Right. And I think some people shy away because they see on TV like OJ case, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Jury
oh, yes.
sequestered.
Sure. Listen, it's been probably 2 years since we've had a sequestered jury in Mobile County.
Okay.
That happens very, very, very rarely.
Right.
And even then, it is maybe one case a year and it every couple of years. So they don't need to be worried about being sequestered.
They'll be worried about that.
They get
folks.
To go home to their own right. dinner and their own home and that kind of thing, and then report back the next day.
Yeah, even with the police officer with the Floyd mm-hmm. killing, the jurors went home.
Right.
They went home.
Right.
You know,
right.
and so that
I mean
folks,
you're instructed not to use your
that.
Phone,
right.
you know, that kind of thing. And the reason why, you know, it's so funny. A lot of those things happen, and you see trials, you know, famous trials on TV,
mm-hmm.
But nobody really understands why. Well, we don't need a jury looking something up on their phone because,
right.
you know, you can find anything. You can find an answer that you want to any question you want to ask, whether it's the truth or not, on the Internet,
on
right?
On the Internet, that's right.
And so we just try to make sure that jurors understand they can only base their verdict on the evidence that comes into the courtroom
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
after it's been sifted through the court rules and the court process.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't need jurors that's going to go home and Google something
right.
on their phones
right.
because half the time you don't know if that's true or not.
That's correct.
And so we are just very, very cautious about that, and we make sure that jurors understand that, you know, they're not allowed to go to the crime scene. They're not allowed to look up things on the Internet. They're not allowed to do that. They're
mm-hmm.
not allowed to watch the news. It's because sometimes the news gets it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes Google gets it wrong. Sometimes the Internet gets it wrong.
Right.
And we want them to base their verdict on the evidence that comes out right. in the courtroom.
Right.
From
right.
the real witnesses, the live witnesses, from the real exhibits. You know, you're a law enforcement officer. From the real exhibits,
right.
not from some craziness that they might read
right.
now in the days of the crazy Internet.
And believe me, from my law enforcement experience, we used to read, Geraldo Rivera and some of those individuals from CBS, they used to come around, give us an exclusive. We were
sure.
in the same building, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we wouldn't give them an exclusive, but you read all kind of stuff.
Right.
That was not true.
Right. And you may have said 20 minutes worth of very important information.
Right.
But
right.
they picked up on one teeny tiny snippet and then twisted it to where they wanted people
right.
to listen to it.
Right.
Okay. And
right.
so that's why we try to impress upon jurors, you know, we just need you to listen to the evidence that comes out in
great,
the courtroom.
Great. What else do you want our audience to know?
Well,
about
you
Ashley
asked
Ritz.
About me being running for re-election, and
right.
I am. It's a 6-year term. I have to correct you.
Oh, okay.
I'm
yeah.
lucky. It's
all
a 6-year
right.
term.
Great.
And I will be announcing formally at the end of July that I will be campaigning, and the election is in 2022.
Right.
So I will be running as a Republican, of course. I've
right.
always been a Republican.
Definitely.
I've never changed my party since the day
right.
I was born. I was born
right.
a Republican, and I'm
right.
a Republican. And so, and I just, it's my honor and privilege to have been able to serve the public in this job so far
mm-hmm.
for 11 years, and
wow.
I'd like to do it for 6 more. So.
Wow. And do you have a website that folks
it's AshleyRichDA.com.
Make donations, because I know we
mm-hmm.
need money.
Right.
We
and
need
it's
money.
AshleyRichDA.com.
Okay.
I'm not allowed to ask for money because I'm a sitting elected official. You just
I
said
can,
it.
Folks.
Okay.
She needs
well.
Money. Let's AshleyRichDA.com. Send her some money. She needs money because campaigns Campaigns cost money, that's for sure. And she's not asking. This is coming from me, folks. This is my voice.
Well, I'm just pleased to be able to announce that I'm running again.
Great.
It's just my honor and privilege every day to walk into the office and know that we're doing the right thing for the right reasons and to lead a team of individuals who really want to do the right thing.
Right.
There's no better calling.
I'm going to ask you a tough question.
Also, let me say one more thing.
Go ahead,
to work
please.
With law enforcement, because, you know,
that's true.
Law enforcement's getting – some of law enforcement's getting true. A really bad rap right now.
True.
And as you, a former law enforcement officer, yes, we in my office right now, we have cops under indictment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do. Just because you're a law enforcement officer doesn't mean the law doesn't apply to you.
Right.
And so we do have cops under indictment right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we also consider law enforcement to be our partners.
Mm-hmm.
Law enforcement officers are doing the right thing for the right reasons and not violating the law.
Right.
And so I'm honored every day to work with the men and women in law enforcement and our
mm-hmm.
first responders and our fire department.
Mm-hmm.
That's been also one of the highlights of my job is having a great working relationship with them, with all the police chiefs in Mobile County, the sheriff, of course. And it's just my privilege, and I would like to continue to do that in helping our partners.
Great. You also have your own investigators.
We do. We have three investigators in my
okay.
office. Yes,
okay.
we do. Mike Morgan is my chief investigator,
right.
former homicide detective with the Mobile Police Department.
Right, right.
They are responsible for primarily going out and serving our individuals that need to come
mm-hmm.
to court. So.
Okay. One more minute to go.
Ooh, it's my last chance to say something.
Your last
from
chance to say. I'm so glad to have you here.
Sum it up, it's just so very important that people come to jury
right.
duty because that's what makes our office. And we've got to get more trials tried. And if we don't have enough people that show up for jury duty in the fall, it's just going to prolong things even further. So my biggest public service announcement right now, if I had 30 seconds, I've just told you, is please come. When you get that summons for jury duty, please
mm-hmm.
come down and do your civic duty and serve on jury duty. We need you. I need you. I need your help. We need to make sure that we can get these trials moving
mm-hmm.
and that we can provide justice in a more speedily – more. That's not even a word – in a faster way than we're doing it right now. And the only way we can do that is if we have great qualified jurors that come down and serve.
Right. Folks, you've heard it from Ashley Rich, our Mobile County prosecutor. Please – get behind her. She needs campaign funds. We can't do it with just talk. We need campaign funds. So we're glad.
Thank you so much.
You
for
come by,
me.
And we're gonna have you on again.
Absolutely.
All right,
Absolutely.
Folks. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, everybody. I am George Williams, and we really appreciate Mobile County Prosecutor Ashley Rich for coming on and giving us that very important information, especially the Terminat lawsuit. And that's a civil case, so... You've got to register. If you've been affected, please register, folks. Go on that site and register because that is very, very, very important. Okay? All right. We have another guest, and he is, let's see if he's on the line. Hello there, Dr. Reverend Coleman Wallace.
Good evening, George.
All right. Good evening, sir. Folks, this is... Dr. Reverend Coleman Wallace, and he is the vice president of the Alabama Minority GOP. And right now he's in Atmore, but he's vice chairman, a vice president over the state of Alabama. So welcome.
Thank you, George, for that warm welcome.
Great.
And that and introduction.
Great, great. What do we have for our audience tonight regarding the Alabama Minority GOP?
Well, we would like to inform the audience that we are beginning to put together a campaign to get ourselves restructured and reorganized and to look out over the landscape and see where we can first recruit more minority GOP members,
mm-hmm.
and then secondly, try to help out those communities who need help when they want to write proposals for urban development and things of that nature. We have some people who are quite skilled, or we can put you in contact with people who are quite skilled in terms of grant writing, 501c3 writing, and things of that paperwork of that nature, as well as try to assist some of the local people who desire to run for political office.
And that's been a big problem in the minority as far as Republicans. Are you aware, Dr. Coleman, about the Democrats in the Alabama House and the Alabama Senate?
Well, I haven't kept up with their agenda, no.
Well, I'm going to make you aware of something. Out of the Senate, there are 7 Democratic senators, okay? And out of the 7 Democratic senators, only one is white. The rest are black, okay? Out of the House members, there are, I believe, 37 House Democrats in the Alabama House. And 5 of those are white. So the majority of the Democrats in the Alabama House and the Alabama Senate are minorities, are black.
Okay.
But yet and still, so far, you know, next month we should have our first black Republican in the Alabama House. We have no senators, but the Democrats have stacked the deck as far as minorities in the Alabama House and Alabama Senate. So I understand what you're saying. We really need to put our heads together and our votes and our money and everything and try to get more minority Republicans into the Alabama House and Senate.
Certainly do. We certainly do. And if you give me some guidance, certainly I would be able to or be willing to assist in that area.
Right, right, right. And I think the best way, you're being a reverend, a preacher. In my opinion, that is the best way to go, is to form a relationship with the pastors and the ministers and the preachers. What do you think?
Well, this is probably an unknown thing as well, but I am the director of ministers for the Bethlehem Baptist Association, District Number 2.
Okay.
So I have their contact information. And the interesting part about that is that all of them are Democrats.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Every one.
Wow. Wow. How do they treat you?
Oh, they treat me very kindly.
Okay.
We're just brothers.
Okay.
Yeah, we're brothers.
Okay. Yeah. As far as outreach, now we've got the whole state that we have to look at, and also we have South Alabama, which is more organized with the minority GOP than any other part of the state. How do we go about working in other parts of the state? And I think the best way is through the ministry. Okay, that's my personal opinion. And some radio advertising, et cetera, et cetera. And like you said, those programs that these community need, we can assist with that.
Yeah, I think I need to do or put an effort into reaching out to the surrounding GOP executive committees.
Okay.
And I believe if I can establish a rapport with them, and we can invite some of the community people black community members to those executive committee meetings, we might get a number of them who might begin to see a different point of view.
Okay.
Regarding the GOP and its intentions. I would like, you know, I think in my county, as in Escambia County, we do have black executive committee members for the local county.
Right.
So that if others could see that model and be encouraged to pick up on that model, I think we could do more to attract.
Right. I have to let our audience know also that you were the first Republican elected in Escambia County, correct?
Yes.
And
In the history of the county. Right.
Yeah, and you're not only the first Republican, but you're the first black Republican elected.
Yes.
And I mean, that is really fantastic. And you're elected to the Escambia County Board of Education.
And I also serve on the Alabama Institute for the Deaf and Blind Board of Trustees.
Oh, wow. Okay. And
that was an appointment by Governor Ivey.
Governor Ivey, which is fantastic. And yeah. I tell you, Dr. Coleman, we really appreciate what you're doing. Now, there's something that you are planning on, I think it's next month. Can you talk about that?
Yes. I have put in motion a reorganization meeting for the local chapter, that is the South Alabama Minority GOP,
okay,
for June the 23rd, so that we can talk about direction and offices and the responsibilities of the various offices, and also put into place people who are teachable and would be willing to.
Wait, now you said June 23rd, but I think you meant July, right?
July. Did I say June 23rd?
Yes, you did, sir.
That's a big mistake.
No problem.
What I should have said was July the 14th.
Okay, July 14th.
Yes.
All right.
That's a Wednesday.
That's on a Wednesday, and that's going to be somewhere where, in Mobile?
That's which I'm looking at, yes, a location in one of the hotels in Mobile. I haven't finalized it, but that's what I'm looking at.
All right. Hold on. We're going to go into a break, and we'll continue when we come back, okay?
Sure.
All right, folks, we're talking to Dr. Coleman Wallace, Vice President of Alabama Minority GOP. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. I am George Williams, your host, and I am on a mission, a real important mission. We're talking with Dr. Reverend Coleman Wallace, the Vice President of the Alabama Minority GOP. What else do you want our audience to know regarding the Minority GOP, Dr.
Well, let me begin by saying that we are indeed a political action committee.
Okay.
So we're a PAC, and we would certainly encourage anyone who is so inclined to make a donation so that we can be we'll have more resources to support the candidates who are running for the various offices.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would also encourage the local executive committees the county GOPs to be on the lookout for minorities who share the same values as the GOP.
Mm-hmm.
All of our values are similar. We're conservatives. We believe in man and woman being married. We don't mm-hmm. believe in man and men being married.
Mm-hmm.
We encourage people to do what's godly in their lives, what's morally right,
mm-hmm.
So that we can represent our nation with the highest of standards.
Okay. All right. Doctor, how do folks get in touch with us on our website? I know we have a website. How do they connect with that?
It's if you want to connect with our website, it's www.alamgop.org.
Okay. ALAMGOP.org.
Right, .org.
Mm-hmm.
And there you can find membership applications. You can make donations. And you can make comments
mm-hmm.
as well.
Right. And one important thing is there are not just minorities who are members of the ALMGOP.
We need to emphasize that more.
Okay.
We're not just a minority group. There are we have whites in our group.
Mm-hmm.
We have Hispanics in our group.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're so inclined to support the underserved communities, this is a way for you to make a major contribution.
All right. All right, Doc, I'm telling you, we appreciate you coming on. We're going to have you on in the future, and I think it's important for our audience to know about what we're doing to help out the citizens of Alabama and help the Republican Party. That's very important.
Exactly. Thanks for your help.
All right.
Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Doc.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Good night.
All right, folks. This is it. Very, very, very important. Now, there's some other things that are very important out there in the world today. And I use that termination because when I was in the Marine Corps and stationed in Hawaii and stationed in Vietnam, away from the U.S., we said, boy, we'll be glad when we go back to the world. And when you use that terminology, the world, everybody knew you were talking about America, okay? Because America was the world. We got to get back to the world. So there are some other things that are very important. I think I really think you should know about it. First of all, the deputy, Baldwin County deputy Bill Smith, who drowned, saving someone else's life. We our condolences to him and to his family. And this is part of law enforcement. They just don't. Law enforcement, when there's something to do, we do it. We do it, okay? Even if at the risk of our lives, folks. And I think the Democrats had better start learning that. And they're talking about, you know, cutting back on funding for police and all that stuff. It is unbelievable what the Democrats are doing out there. And you Democrats who are out there who are sick and tired of all this crap that they're doing in Washington, come on over to the Republican Party. We'll take care of you, okay? We're not going to leave you astray or put you on a plantation like the Democrats are doing. Especially you black Democrats out there, all right? some of the things that are happening now is Supreme Court had day before yesterday, a very important ruling, folks, and they ruled that anyone who enters the U.S. in an illegal fashion, okay, are not eligible for permanent residence in the United States. And I think that's important, and that's going to really shake up what the Democrats are trying to do on the border, and I think that's very important. So that ruling was 9-0. Even the Democrats who are on the Supreme Court, those three Democrat Supreme Court justices, said they voted. They voted that illegals are not eligible, okay? Now, here's what I think the Democrats are going to try to do. They're going to try to pass a law that will allow illegals to be authorized to come over or to be appointed as legals, okay? They can't do it now under the law. Supreme Court said that. And only the Congress and the Senate can pass that law. And so you know Nancy Pelosi and Schumer, you know what they're thinking about. And that brings me to Senator Manchin, U.S. Senator from West Virginia. Without his support, the Democrats can't do nothing, folks, okay? Without his support, they cannot get rid of the filibuster rule. They need his support, and he said he will not do it, okay? Without his support, they cannot pass the Senate bill number one regarding the voters, okay? And that's what they want to do. But without his support, they can't do that. They can't do that. Now, concerning Joe Biden, it is unbelievable. Me being a war combat veteran, okay, it is unbelievable that this man, when we had the other day, the 77th anniversary of D-Day, that he never mentioned a word about it. And I think he's the only president since that time never mentioned anything about D-Day over in Europe, okay? Never mentioned it. And one would have thought that even the Secretary of Defense or somebody or his military advisors or aides would have said, Mr. President, you got to mention D-Day. He never did, folks. Never did. This is President Biden. Okay. One great thing is happening. President Trump is back on the campaign trail. He's back. He was in North Carolina. He's coming here to Alabama. I don't know when yet. He's going to several states. And what he's doing is he is campaigning for 2022 because, folks, believe me, we're going to take back the Senate. And we're going to take back the House, okay, in 2022. To me, there's no doubt about that. Alan West had resigned as the chairman of the Texas Republican Party. He's going to be running for Congress. So that's going to be another seat we're going to take. We're ready, folks. We are ready. And we're on a mission to get rid of those Democrats because they have messed up our country. And we can't allow that to happen. All right, folks, time is over with. We'll see you same time next week. Until then, everybody, Vicon Dales.